Here this morning, and it is it's a wonderful thing to be in God's house, but it's a more wonderful thing to be well with your soul. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the case, and we praise the Lord for that. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to tell you about him today. We certainly do. So thankful that you're here this morning. Guys, we prayed for rain for some time now, and we're getting it. And be sure and thank the Lord for it. I was telling somebody a few minutes ago, I went to Dumas last week, and then turned around and went to Oklahoma City this weekend, and I never saw a dry spot the whole way. Water standing in every direction you look, and so we praise the Lord. He's nourishing our land. We've not gotten it here like they have in a lot of other places, but what we've got, we appreciate and thank the Lord for. And so you guys continue to pray. We got more chances the next few days, and we'll give thanks for that as well. I don't want to go down the whole list of people we mentioned for the Sunday school class other than say who was in the hospital. Isaac Schoonover and Jerry Copeland, keep them in your prayers. A lot of other things going on, but I won't take time this morning to go over those, other than to say Randy Mason has had a liver transplant. That's Deborah Sims' brother. Randy had down in Houston, and everything's going well with that. Of course, he's in the hospital, going to be in the hospital for a while, but pray for Randy Mason as well. Okay, we're looking for a great day. We're going to have a guest speaker here, and we'll be introducing him in just a few moments, but right now, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll get right back to the music. Okay, Gary, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Amen. Think you may be seated. This time, the choir has a special.
Thank you. standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sing through doubt and fear. In the end, we'll see that it was worth it when He returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And the saints, we raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar, glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord.
You may be seated. Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that will fade. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day You return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. come and turn this around. Deep down I know this world isn't whole. Come, Jesus, come. There'll be no more. There'll be no change when Jesus comes. Let today be the day. He'll come for the weak and the strong just the same.
Father, once again, we give you thanks this morning for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you for Sundays, time of worship, a time of family, a time of rest. And God, we have an opportunity, Lord, as a church family to join in these songs and to open the Bible and learn from your word together, collectively pray together. And Father, we have so many benefits and blessings from being a part of your family. We pray your blessings over those that we've mentioned, Lord. We have a number of people that are sick and a few in the hospital. Lord, we pray that you'll be merciful and help them to get better. We give thanks, Lord God, for the rain. We appreciate so much, Lord. We've asked for it, and you've given it, and Lord, we give thanks, and we rejoice in the fact that it's so widespread and so abundant in so many areas. And Father, we know that you can withhold the rain or you can bring it. So, Lord, you brought it, and we thank you. We ask your blessings, Lord, over the next few minutes as we open the Word of God. I pray that you'll bless Chris Fobbs and that your anointing would be on him, Holy Spirit, that he would just be able to enjoy bringing the Word of God and that he would be able to have clarity of thought and clarity of speech. And we pray your blessings over Temple Baptist in Dumas, Lord, while that they have their services there. And Father, we just ask, God, that you'll help us to have open hearts and open minds today and be aware of the movement of your Holy Spirit and yield to it. And we pray that you'll bless those kids in the back that are being taught. We thank you for each and every one of them as well. And God, we ask now that your blessings will be on our church for the next few moments. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Brother Chris, if you'll come. Most of you, there's a lot of people here that might not know Chris because you've come in recent years. But Chris was with us a long time ago as our youth director. And, of course, he's a longtime friend of our family. And he and I are just really close friends still. The best thing I like about Chris Fobbs is his boy Jace right here. He's making a cowboy, and I'm proud of Jace. And, of course, he has two other boys that are great kids as well. And so you guys give Chris a warm welcome.
Opportunity to I was just sitting, and I told Chris right before I came up here, me and Jace, we drove by his old house, and we looked at some of those trees that were there, and I got to feeling old for a little bit, and I thought, some people don't realize Chris was in Arlington at one time, and he got the idea to buy some trees, and I hauled them home in my pickup, hanging out of the back of them. Well, now those are huge trees, and I was just looking at it. It kind of made me feel old. Well, then I went to David's Sunday school class, and he called me Fabio in there, and I thought, well, that kind of made me feel young again. Well, then he started talking about wood and tennis rackets and some commercial by E.F. Hutton, and I thought, who's E.F. Hutton? So I pulled out my phone, which you shouldn't do in the middle of class, by the way, and I Googled it, and that was from the 1970s. So I thought, man, I feel young again. Here we go. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and preach for you. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, not too long back, just through life events and different things, I began just an internal search in my life. I wanted to know more about God. I wanted to know more about who God was. And here's the thing. Sometimes, let me ask you something. Have you ever done anything wrong and you thought, God's about to hit me with a lightning bolt? Raise your hand if you think that. Right? And have you ever had just a bad day and you think, he's after me. So I know you're with me. Raise your hand. Yesterday, I'll give you a prime example. I woke up yesterday morning and just getting to be dad and dad adventures, we had sewer problems. So next thing you know, we're snaking on a sewer. And then my mom calls me not too long ago. My stepdad passed away. And then my mom calls me and she's got a flat tire at her house. So I go and get her car and change her tire. And then so we're running behind doing other things, and Jace is going to come with me. And I said, Jace, we'll have to stop by the cleaners in Amarillo and grab my stuff on the way. We get to the cleaners, and they don't have my stuff ready. And so me and Jace are in Dillard's having to buy something so we can get down here. And there was a time in my life I would have looked at those things like that and thought, man, God's mad at me. You know what I mean? We just got all these things stacked up today. God's mad at me. And it was because for a lot of reasons, and it was, I think, ways, some things I grew up thinking and just things like that, I had a misconception of who God was. Matter of fact, I even said this one time in the pulpit. I said, I believe with all my heart my life will be like Moses. And I said, I believe I'll get to see the promised land. I'm not speaking of heaven, but I'll get to see the earthly blessings, but I won't get to experience those. And it was in that shaping and in those thoughts of thinking that way that I realized that had a horrible trajectory on my life. And so when I got to searching these things, and like I said, through life events and things like that, and I got to saying, I want to know more about God and I want to know more about the gospel, I found myself in Genesis. And I want to preach to you and share with you. The Bible says, and they heard a voice in Genesis chapter 8, and they heard a voice, and it was the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Well, this is right after a major event, right? This is right after sin is going to be introduced into our world right after this. It's what we call the fall of man, right? It's in the garden. And if you could think about the gospel and you think about what is the gospel, there'd be 100 different things you could give. But the gospel at this time or before this time was being carried out in perfect harmony. Because the Bible gives us the understanding that God was, that his presence and God walked through the garden with them. And that's what the gospel is, and it's more than just the good news, right? It's more than that. It's us being connected with God in every way possible. And we know that he said, hey, y'all, this is the one thing I want you to do. I asked David, I said, David, what do you think about this passage? He said, if women wouldn't have messed everything up, we'd still be in good shape. And I said, I am not preaching that. I said, I'm not preaching that at all. But the truth of the matter is that's what we tend to think. And we'd say, you know, Eve, she got the serpent tempted her and she fell. But if you really go to looking at this, the Bible left. He told Adam, he said, you have dominion over this, Adam. And actually, when you look at that, you study it in the Hebrew, it was Adam's job to be the protector of the garden. And the first mistake wasn't Eve being tempted by the serpent. The first mistake was Adam not taking care of the responsibilities that were laid before him. And so you have the fall of man here, right? You have the worst thing possible. They were with God, and he said, the one thing I don't want you to do, he said, it'll cause death in your life. He said, the one thing I do not want you to do, they've done, right? They've made a horrible decision. And it's in the middle of that horrible decision that we get to see a little bit about God in my life. Because here's the thing I know. Whether you do yourself or you know somebody or just in a room this size with this many people, somebody will make a horrible decision. And sometimes we have a misunderstanding of who God is in that time. So here they've made this decision, and God, he doesn't remove the idea of this, and he it's going to have horrible consequences throughout history, and that's why the very song that David just sang is what we need so much, Come Jesus, Come. But you have this, and here's God, and he comes looking for him, and he says, where art thou? I thought this was an all-knowing God. This is an omnipresent God, right? He's all-knowing and he's everywhere. God knew exactly where they were. And God had already knew exactly what they've done. But these little words right here in one of the hardest seasons of my life brought some of the most encouragement to me in my life. That even when they had failed miserably, even when they had turned away from God and went their own way, here come God looking for them. Here come God looking for him, and he says these words, and to be honest with you, normally when I just would read these, I would just fast forward through it, and it's just the garden, and it's the fall of man, but it's these words I underlined in my Bible, and it was, where art thou? And it's a thing that I'm so thankful for, that in our life that God searched out for us. The Bible tells us that God calls the hearts of men. And I'm thankful that not only does he call us into salvation, but he still calls us after failure. I'm thankful that God is constantly pursuing a relationship with us. You see, because God's not this God that in some ways I formulated it in my mind that like God's this lightning bolt God, and as soon as you move, he's going to strike you with a lightning bolt. Well, if that was the case, we wouldn't even be able to have church today because none of us would be here. That's not who he is. And here's the thing. I didn't realize by having those kind of thoughts and formulating that idea and not knowing the true character and attributes of God, that changes the way you repent to God. That changes the way you confess to God. That changes the way you pursue God if we have the wrong understanding of who God is. You see, when we begin to understand who God is and we begin to understand what did he do for them right here, he came looking for them. He said, where are you? And we know there's going to be a horrible consequences, and we know he's going to kick them out of the garden. But in the midst of their garden, right, in the midst of the failure of the garden, he's going to introduce grace to them. I'm not going to, for time's sake, I'm not going to just read through all of it, but if you were to fast forward down to verse 14, and the Bible says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, he said, because you've done this, he said, you're going to be cursed above all cattle and above all beasts in the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat. And the days of the life. And he said in verse 15, he said, I will put enmity, or you could translate that as hostility. He said, I'm going to put hostility between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise his heel. You know, if you could probably be like me at times, you're just reading through this and you think, what in the world? Right? And they've messed up and they've been kicked out, and you just see this, but I want to give you something, and this is where I begin to find so much encouragement in my life, and just transform my life, just individually, spiritually. In the midst of all these things right here, we see that God come walking in. He said, hey, where are you? And we know that they hid themselves, they were naked. Matter of fact, he said, who told you you were? Who told you those things? You see, because the same way is when things happen in our life, God asks us a lot of times, who told you that? Because the things you believe and the things you're now doing aren't the things that God wanted for you. Even the way you start practicing things or the way you start hearing things. And I think God asks us that question. Number one, he asks us, where are you? And I think the second thing that God asks us is, who's telling you that stuff? Because if we're not careful and we get to listening to the world, or you get to listen to the wrong people or CNN, you'll mess yourself up. I'm joking about the CNN deal. Not really, but I'm not going to lie to you. I out of respect, and I know Chris very well, but right when I walked into church, it hit me. A lot of times I preach from the ESV, and it just hit me that the words might be on the screen, and so I changed it to the KJV. I used both translations, and I know it would not be an issue either. But after I seen David's bulletin, and he had CNN on his bulletin, I thought I could have preached out any translation I wanted to. But the truth of the matter is, God, he tells them, he says, hey, where are you? And the next thing he tells them, he says, hey, who told you these things? Can I tell you something? You got to watch who you're listening to. You got to watch who you're listening to. And when God's talking to you, you got to make sure you understand who that is talking to you, because he wants the best for you. But then you find this verse that we just read in verse 15, and it seems like real confusing to us. But in the middle of their greatest failure, God's going to introduce the gospel. He's going to introduce the gospel to us, and it's in Genesis that he introduces it to us. You know, the Bible says, if we said, hey, what is one of the most quoted verses in all the Bible? John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Genesis 3:15. This is where that's coming from. Because here it is. Let's look at it. He says, hey, there's going to be hostility between the serpent and woman, right? And he said, and between thy seed. And then he says something very unique here. And he says, and her seed. You start looking at this, and he says, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And what you have here is, in the Bible, you have the first messianic prophecy. You have the first introduction of, hey, even in the midst of your biggest failure, I've got a plan. Even when all the course of humanity is going to be changed, even though you're going to get kicked out of the garden, those consequences are still going to be in place, I've got a plan for you. Can I tell you something? I'm thankful that my ways are not his ways, and I'm thankful that my thoughts are not his thoughts, because I'm thankful that even when I'm at a place in my life and I can't formulate a plan, God has one for us. And who's he talking about here? He says, hey, there's going to be a problem, and this is the problem. It's going to be between good and evil. It's going to be between Satan and Jesus. And he introduces that to us. He says, and it's going to be between thy seed. He said, and he's talking about Satan, right? He's going to be between the serpent here. He's going to be between your seed, and he says, and it's going to be between her seed. It's going to be talking about Jesus when he comes. And then he says something, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You can look at other translations, and it says, some will say it shall crush his head. You say, what is this talking about? It's talking about the cross. You see, because Jesus, when God sent Jesus to the cross for us, it was a temporary bruise to Jesus. But it was that cross that was a bruise. It looked like, oh man, this is the world's worst thing right here to Jesus. It was a bruise to his heel, but it was the cross that would crush Satan. But because it was on that cross that, as your pastor just began to talk to you about, it was on that cross that salvation was introduced to us. It was on that cross that that something was introduced to us, and it's eternal forgiveness. It was on that cross, there's a song that says, while he was on the cross, we were on his mind. And so you find all the way in Genesis, and you find in these words that sometimes can be hard to read, and you find these things, and you look at it, and I think it's really into what David said in his lesson this morning. When we just read to read through it, because we're checking off chapters, we miss it. But when we slow down and we say, God, I want to know who you are, he says, start at the beginning, and I'll show you who I am. And he said, right here, Chris, in the midst of Adam and Eve's biggest failures, I made a plan for them. And that began to encourage me in my own life, in the season of life I was in, because I thought, man, God, you searched me out and you're still looking for me. And it began to encourage me that I thought, who's telling you these things? And you got to change what you're listening to. And sometimes the people telling you the worst things aren't people, it's yourself. It's yourself. Man, we can't let Satan get in our head. We can't let them get in our head. We can't let Satan tell us things, because if we're not careful, we begin to listen to those things. So you find there's this, he says, there's this hostility. He said, but I'm telling you, he says, there's going to be something that takes place, and it's going to be the cross. And he says, on that cross, it'll crush the head of Satan. He said, and it'll bruise the heel of Jesus. But that bruise, he said, that's like just a little bruise. It's like stumping your toe just a little bit. It ain't going to last long. But then you continue to fast forward through this, and you see something in here, and we're going to go down to verse 20. The Bible says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothed for them. You remember at the very beginning when we read this, the Bible says, hey, where are you? They were hiding because they were naked, right? And we know there's going to be consequences in their life, but then you look at this and you think, man, God will never be there for me again. God won't do things for me. And again, God started it already for them. Because we know that the Bible says he's going to remove them from the garden. He's going to kick them out of the garden, right? But before he did, he introduced grace to them. Look what he does for them. The Bible says in verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them. They were in a place in their life they didn't deserve anything. They were in a place in their life when they turned their back on God. They were in a place in their life where they had, in essence, walked away from God. They were in a place in their life that they made a decision that would create separation from them and God. You see, they started off like this. Now it went like this, and they've got to come back to God. Does that make sense? You see, that when I said at the beginning, the gospel was in perfect form because they got to start with God like this, as one with him. Now we have to start and we have to come like this to God. Because why? Sin was introduced into the world. And because of sin, we're all born sinners. But you find some unique things about all this. And the Bible says it doesn't make sense when we start thinking about who this God is. Because when we begin to read the Bible for what it says, God can't be a lightning bolt God. Because the Bible says, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet dead in our trespasses, Christ died for us. And so when we begin to look at these character traits of God, and we begin to look at the words of God, what we find is God is deeply in love with you and me. You see, that verse we just quoted, John 3:16, there's a word in there, and we have to understand this, and it's the word love. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. I believe this with all my heart. God does not always like us. But he loves us. He didn't give Jesus because he liked us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. God didn't like the world because he didn't like what was going on in it. As a matter of fact, we can prove this, because there was times, and you can look in the Old Testament, where he didn't like what was going on, and the Bible says that he goes, I'm done with it. And Moses interceded in prayer for the people because he didn't like what he seen. But you know what he liked? More than what he liked or didn't like, he loved when his people called upon his name. The Bible says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You praying for other people matters. It matters. I believe with all my heart, people praying for me, it mattered. But what I'm so thankful for is even when we go to places in the Bible and we think the gospel's not in there, that's only the fall of man in the garden. No, Jesus is everywhere in the Bible. God's sovereign grace is all over the Bible. You see, we sometimes if we're not careful, we'll present things in one way and we'll think, man, look at this. This is the start. This is the worst of it all. But even in the worst of it all, we see good things about God. Because what we do doesn't change who he is. He's still going to be God. It was said this morning, we can be thankful because God, he's not changing. He's going to be the same God. And so if God can deliver grace and love to these people in this decision, God can deliver grace and love to you in the place of life you're in. And it doesn't always, and here's what I want to give you. It doesn't always have to be off of like a catastrophic failure. Some of the times where I probably can look back in my life and say, I wish I would have leaned on God more, was it in the valley, it was on the mountaintop. Just to be transparent with you. You say, well, no, God puts you on the mountaintop. Well, here's the thing. If you're not careful, your blessings can become a burden. I wish I would have leaned on God. Here's the thing. When you're at the bottom of the barrel, there's nothing left. But if I said, hey, if I said, as an older person wanting to look back on my life, what is things you would begin to identify and do different as you can continue on in life? I'd say in the good times, I'd lean more on God. I'd acknowledge who put me there. I'd acknowledge the things he gave me. I wouldn't let those things stand in the way and become those things that were blessings in my life. I wouldn't let them stand in the way and become burdens to my relationship with him. When I look in Genesis, I had always looked at it as like, well, this is what started all our problems. You know what? This is where all our problems started. But this is where we got to see the beginning of all of God's goodness. Because he had a perfect plan, and even when his people stepped away from that, he said, I still got a good plan. And in that plan was Jesus Christ. And once again, that verse we all share and that verse we all say, for God so loved the world, that it has a whole different meaning when you start understanding that God loves me. And that God loves you. And that love isn't dictated by whether you're here today. That love isn't dictated by church attendance. That love isn't dictated by tithing records. That love isn't dictated by good deeds. That love is dictated by who God is. Because the Bible says we're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing we can do. But the crazy thing is God says, I wanted you even in your worst time of life. I'm thankful that God has a plan for us. And here's the thing, I'm thankful that the gospel, it's more than just the good news. We tell people, hey, share the gospel. Do you know what the gospel is? And they say it's the good news. It's so much more than just the word good news. It's everything to us. It's everything to us. And I'm thankful that when you look in God's word, and from my personality, I could read things and think, man, this is where everything went wrong. And when I begin to change my mindset, I begin to think, this may be where everything went wrong, but man, this was also an opportunity where we could just see how good God is. What I would like to encourage you with you in life, it would be my prayer for you that no matter what season of life you're in, you could take time to see just how good God is. I look at these and you think, you know what? They're gonna get kicked out of the garden here in just a minute. And God says, hey, before I kick you out, let me pack you a bag. Let me help you just a little bit. It's going to be hard. And there's going to be some times where you're going to wonder whether I cared about you or not. But maybe when you look down at these clothes, you'll realize just how much I do care for you. You see, I am so thankful for the little bags God has packed with me in my life at times. Even when there was going to be some tough times ahead of me, and I can look back now and think on things, especially with the mindset shift, I can think, I'm thankful for the small bags he packed for me. And he says, I'm going to give you some things that's going to help you get through this. It's not my... You see, here's the thing. They were hiding out of shame and they were hiding out of embarrassment. It's not God's desire to embarrass us. You see, God don't want to punish you today just to embarrass you. He's God. That's not who he is. He don't want you to come down this altar and so he can reveal things to you in your life so you can stand up embarrassed of who you are. That's not what God wants for you. God's desire isn't to embarrass you. God's desire is through the gospel, you'll understand who you are, but you'll more importantly understand who he is. I went through a devotion on sonship, and the guy who taught that or wrote the book on it, he says in this sermon, he says, cheer up, we're all worse than we think we are. And can I tell you something as a church? And I'm thankful you are a church. I would tell people, cheer up. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. Man, if you read God's word for what it really is, God has done some extraordinary things with some horrible people. But you know, when we look at it, when you look at it for how it's meant to be read, we shouldn't get hung up on those horrible people. We should get hung up on the amazing things that God does. I'll give you a prime example. People say, man, you ever read that passage where Peter walked on water but he sunk? Have you ever read the passage where Peter walked on water? Does that make sense to you? But we're so quick to read it from just the mindset of, let me tell you about what it's like to lose faith. Let me tell you what it's like to walk on water. I still can't figure out how he did that. I can figure out how to sink. I do that all the time. Not too long back, we were driving down the road, me and my oldest boy, Cash, and he was talking on the phone a little bit, and he got a phone call, and I could tell when and I've done stuff like this too, right? He kind of was looking out the window while he was talking, and I knew he was talking, I'm like, we're right beside each other. I can hear you. Well, he's making plans. He was 12 at the time. He's making plans. He wanted to go to the pool with his girlfriend. And I'll just tell you, I don't go to the city pool. That's for stay-at-home moms. My wife does that. You know what I mean? I said, that's why God blessed our family, so you could go do that. But in that, he was talking about going to the pool. He's like, yeah, I think. And then he leans over and he's like, Dad, can I go to the pool? And I'm like, well, you've already made plans. And I said, hey. And he goes, looked at me. I said, hit mute for just a minute. And he said, he hit mute. I said, now, Cash, why are you planning on going to the pool? You can't swim. And I go, don't jump off that diving board trying to show off her and sink. You know what I mean? You know why? Because I can understand the concept of sinking. But I still can't understand the concept of walking on water. What I would encourage you in your life is don't spend all your life looking at God from this pessimistic personality viewpoint of thinking, you know what? God's out to get me. Had a flat tire this morning. It's because, you know what? It's because I didn't read my Bible that full 15 minutes. He knew I cheated on that 1 minute. You know what I mean? My belly started growling. I just couldn't handle it. You know what I mean? And we laugh at that stuff, but you'd be surprised at how many people go through their life thinking that. You'd be surprised that when the water bill comes in this month and it was a little higher than you thought it was going to be and it was because you had a leak out in the yard, you think, you know what, God is mad because I didn't give to that missionary like I thought I should have. And we orchestrate our relationship with God around all those things like that. And when we do that, it creates our relationship with God like the stock market. It gets super volatile. And we think every little thing is what's crashing us. That's not who God is. That's not who he is. And I'll just tell you this. In the little bit of life I've had, in the little bit of time I've done the ministry, in the last year, my relationship with the Lord has grown more than it's ever grown before. And it's because my view of who the God was changed. Because I understood, Chris, even when you do fail, God comes looking for you and says, where are you at? It's an introduction to us when the Bible says in the New Testament, he says, who leaves the 99 and goes looking for the one? We see it happen here. It's a little bit of understanding. He says, you know what? Even when you don't have a plan, he says, Chris, I do. I can take care of this. This mistake, it'll change the course of humanity, but you know what? So will Jesus Christ when he comes. I'll take care of this. Satan, you think you prevailed, and he says, I'll crush you. I'll crush you. And he says, you know what? That verse that we always used to kind of scare people, he says, you reap what you sow. He says, you're going to have to reap what you sow, but guess what? I'm going to give you clothes. We're going to do it in a way that doesn't embarrass you or humiliate you. Now, it's going to have consequences for you. Right there, it gave us an understanding. Even when we discipline our kids, discipline should be a part of life. But it shouldn't be our job to set out and humiliate them and embarrass them. It's a responsibility we have. And I just want to encourage you. We see grace. As David begins to play for you, I'd like to tell you this. He actually sung in his song. He said, sometimes I fall to my knees. And then at the end of it, he says, It's the chorus part of it, but it's saying, come, Jesus, come. Can I tell you something? We can have hope today because that's talking about a second coming. But we have hope today because we've already experienced his first coming. We've already experienced a Jesus who went to the cross. And when he went to that cross, it was a bruise on his heel. But when he came out of that grave, it was something different. And it's my prayer, just to be honest with you, it's my prayer that you wouldn't go through life, maybe a lot, God did a little bit sometimes, and you get thinking, you know what, this happened today because God's out to get me. No, God said, I gave Jesus Christ for you. It would be my prayer that you would have a mindset shift. It'd be my prayer that here in just a minute, as they begin to sing, you would come to the altar and you would begin to reveal things to God. And it's not because you're embarrassed or you think there's going to be a church here that tries to embarrass you, or you think there's going to be a God that tries to embarrass you, but you're going to understand that there's going to be a God that says, no, I want to clothe you. I want to offer grace to you. And I want to offer a plan that me and you can get back together. You see, I'm thankful in my life when there's times I didn't understand those plans. I'm thankful that God said, I got a plan and we're going to get back together. That's what we're going to do. And then I'm going to speak honestly with you here. I would be lying to say if there wasn't people here that there's probably someone in this room, you're separated from God. But can I tell you there, don't stay there. Don't stay there. Because you want to feel the power and presence of God in your life, come to God. Not only watch what he does in your life, but just watch what he does inside of you that nobody else can see. And he says, I want to take care of some things, you know. And he says, I'm going to take care of some things that you've had in your life for a long time. Things that you were embarrassed of, he says, Chris, I'm going to take care of those things for you. I'm going to help you with them. Things you always thought, he said, you know what, you shouldn't go through life thinking, well, if that's God's plan, I won't see the promised land. Matter of fact, I look up now and I've already stood in it in a lot of ways. Because I changed my mindset shift. God changed my heart and I started looking up and he said, you don't think those boys over there are the promised land? You don't think these things around that I've done for you, you don't think that's a promised land? Man, I can't get over just how good God's been to me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I would ask that you stand. I would just invite people that, let people know that I believe with all my heart, God's asking today, where are you? And we're not just asking, are you here at church today? Where are you at spiritually? Where are you at in your own life? God's telling you right now, he has a plan, and that plan was Jesus on the cross. Just like he had a plan in the garden, he had a plan. That's Jesus on the cross. You say, I'm already saved. Well, if you're already saved, he's still got a plan for you. And it's through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ that you can have repentance, you can have redemption, you can have forgiveness. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you have a pastor that will be more than happy to stand here, and he'll answer these questions about, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if there's people in here and you said, you know what, I need to hear something. When you come to this altar here in just a little bit, I hope you know that God will offer grace to you. That God will clothe you. And so you come to that altar wearing some things in your life that maybe nobody can see. And God's going to put a coat on you when you leave. And he says, those will just be between me and you. We'll take care of these things. Some things we do in life have consequences. We do reap what we sow. But I'm thankful we get to taste the grace. Father, we come to you and we just thank you for everything you do. God, it's my prayer that we could just learn from your word, Lord, that even in the garden, in the midst of man's biggest failure, so to speak, you are still God. You still came searching, you still came loving, and you still offered grace, and you had a plan. God, I'm thankful that I accepted that plan and that was Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If there's someone in here that today that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, would they give their life to you? If there's someone in here that's just disconnected from Jesus and maybe made some mistakes in life or whatever it is, would they draw close to you today? If there's people in here and they say, I'm on the mountaintop, Lord, would in that moment they say, you know what, I'm going to give you all the glory because I don't want my burdens, my blessings to become burdens. And God, would you just clothe us in your grace? In Jesus' name, amen.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thou can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh.
the Lord. Thank you, Brother Chris. Man, good message. Good message. Thank you guys for being here. We have coming this morning, Jeff will stand up here with him. This is Ed Mayfield. Most of you already met Ed. He's been with us for several weeks now in a row. He's really faithful to the house of God, and he wants to join this morning. Our church by letter, and I had that, I believe it's Faith Fellowship. Faith Fellowship Baptist in Denison, Texas. I had it somewhere and I can't find it written down, but I believe that's right. And he's a member there, and of course he's been saved and scripturally baptized. And so he wants to join our church. I'll entertain a motion at this point. Yep, Brother Ed right down here, Dowdy, and Jim St. Pierre seconds that. All in favor say amen. 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 All right. Anybody opposed? Raise your right hand. No, I didn't think there'd be any opposition. And so we're glad to have Ed as a part of our church. So, Jeff, why don't you go to the back with Ed and Chris. You guys dismissed to the back. And you guys get by there and love on both of them. Tell Fobbs you appreciate him. I didn't mention, for those of you who don't know, he pastors Temple Baptist Church in Dumas, has done been there for a few years now and done a great job. And Chris's family around here, as you know. So love on him. As most of you know, he lost his stepdad, Steve Christofferson, just a week or 10 days ago, and they used to be members of our church as well. And so pray for that family if they adjust to life without Steve. But we're so thankful you're here this morning, and let me just remind you on the back table, those of you who have done your wills, and today is the signing time for the wills, and the attorney will be here, the witnesses that need to be here, and that needs to be, it's $50 a couple and $25 for an individual to take care of those wills, and you need to pay the attorney that's here cash, or you can Venmo him, okay? With me, it'd have to be cash, okay? But some of you know how to use the Venmo deal, so he'll that'll be available. But otherwise, bring cash. And again, this is just something that this attorney had offered to do for our church, and it's kind of a ministry of his. And so many of you have participated, but you've gone through all these other steps. Be sure today. Get here and finalize and get those. The schedule is on the table in the back. You probably already know what your time slot is, but if you need to be reminded, it's laying on the table in the back, okay? That being said, next week is Mother's Day, and always a very special time when we honor our mothers, and so be thinking ahead of time on being in the house of God, bringing your mom with you or bringing a special lady in your life, and we'll honor them and have a great service, okay? So thankful each of you were here. We'll go ahead and ask the blessing, and then we'll dismiss to our houses. I started to say classes, but we'll go to our houses, have some lunch, and come back tonight about 6. Brother David will be preaching. We'll look forward to it, okay? All right, good deal. Ricky Price, will you lead us in prayer, please?